a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Is proudly brought to you by SRE.com. This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougar points winning!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Cougar Nation, good afternoon from sunny Los Angeles, and it's a super Saturday for BYU Sports. As the Cougars look to complete a season sweep of the Pac-12 Conference when they take on the USC Trojans tonight at the historic L.A. Coliseum. And then, oh, by the way, there's an undefeated rivalry showdown between BYU and Utah in men's basketball. And we're talking about it all here on Cougar Sports Saturday. I'm Mitch Harper here in Los Angeles and back in Salt Lake City. Holding it down at Broadcast House is my co-host Matt Biamonte. And Matt, what a massive day for BYU sports.
Yeah, a huge day in football, basketball. Let's not forget an Elite Eight soccer matchup with South Carolina.
Right.
And a women's basketball matchup. That women's BYU hoops, men's and women's, one of the few undefeated teams left in both women's and men's basketball in the country. They take on West Virginia University here coming up shortly. So a lot of great BYU action all day long.
You can follow us on Twitter at KSL Sports, at Biamonte Matt, and at Mitch _ Harper to interact with us throughout the show. You can use the KSL text line, UCCU KSL text line at 575-00. We got a great guest lineup coming up as well. BYU linebacker Max Tooley going to be joining the program. BYU basketball forward Gideon George, fresh off a career-high rebounding performance of 16 boards. And then also we'll get a perspective on the Trojans from the men of Troy. Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com will give us the insider dish on USC. And is Kalani Sitake honestly a candidate for that Trojans position? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more with Ryan Abraham coming up in hour number three. But let's start things off, Matt, with the leadoff.
The leadoff. A look at the stories making headlines right now. It's time for the leadoff on Cougar Sports Saturday.
Yeah, BYU and USC tonight, 8:30 kickoff here in L.A. You can listen to the pregame starting at 6:30 here on KSL News Radio. And BYU comes into this game at number 13 in the college football playoff rankings, and that's up one spot from last week where they were number 14 at Georgia Southern. There's a puncher's chance, Matt, that they could go to the New Year's Six.
Yeah, and I've actually felt all along that there was a chance, even after that second loss to Baylor, just because they didn't dip nearly as far as I thought they would. And it just really, look, when you have two losses, Mitch, it's no longer in your control. Like, if BYU had beaten Boise State, then it would be in their control. If they beat USC going 11-1, like, at that point, it's almost a guarantee you're getting one of those at-large spots. That wasn't the case. They lost to Boise State and to Baylor. And so it's no longer in their control. They need other teams to lose. Well, fortunately for them, that has been happening. It needs to happen some more. But the fact that they have moved up against, you know, that Georgia Southern performance to me was nothing special. But they still moved up a spot, which was huge. I think that speaks volumes to how this college football committee views their strength of schedule and their willingness to play seven Power 5 football games, that they continue to move them up as teams they've beaten have done well. Utah doing what they've done and being on the brink of a Pac-12 championship has helped BYU. Washington State destroys Washington yesterday. They've looked dang good. No one thought that they would be this good, myself included. That helps BYU. So these things are breaking BYU's way. It needs to continue to happen for this to really materialize. But BYU has a like you said, Mitch, a puncher's chance at a New Year's Six, which that's a great thing to have at this point in the season.
It really is to have that element in play in the final regular season game, because usually at this point of the season, you know BYU's bowl destination, and you're like, okay, they're going to the the Hawaii Bowl, they're going to the Miami Beach Brawl Bowl, they're going to this bowl. Like this year, they don't know for sure where they're going. And it's kind of exciting to play. Now, keep in mind, if BYU does not go to the New Year's Six, most likely they're going to be going to the Independence Bowl in Shreveport on December 18th to play a Conference USA team. Now, if they do get an at-large spot in the New Year's Six, it's either going to be the Fiesta Bowl and the Peach Bowl. And I got to say, Matt, if BYU, you're the Fiesta Bowl and those bright yellow jackets that they wear, you got to like the thought of a BYU team that would probably bring 40,000 fans. So they got to take care of business today against USC. And if they get to 10 wins, 10-2, and they kind of wait for next week, see how everything plays out, BYU might be in a spot where they're an attractive team to potentially pick off, because they're undefeated against Pac-12 teams, assuming if they win tonight. So there's a lot to like about this BYU resume if you're a New Year's Six bowl.
The thing I don't like is that the CFP committee is going to be choosing these bowl games, so I don't love that. But what I do love is what you just brought up, which is, look, last year, not a lot of fans attended college football games. This is an opportunity, I think, for a lot of these bowl games to make some money, like sell out the place, have these attractive games, get the eyeballs on the TV, and get fans in the stands. And in the at-large pool, outside of Notre Dame, is there a better brand that is going to do just that? I don't think so. I think that will help. But the most important thing to me, Mitch, and we're going to cover this all day long, you got to beat USC handily. This is your last chance to have an opportunity to impress the committee, because next week, conference championship weekend, you're not going to play. And so if this is a Georgia Southern performance where you only eke out a win and it's not that good looking, because I think people will pay attention to this game. It's the best game, the best late game left after the Oklahoma State game, which has huge ramifications for BYU. You got to be rooting for the Cowboys later tonight. But after that, it's BYU and USC. You're ESPN, you got Dave Fleming, Rod Gilmore. I know BYU fans mixed feelings with Rod Gilmore after what we heard last week. Give me Rod Gilmore, Mitch. Give me Rod Gilmore again on the call. And of course, always can listen here, Greg Rubel, Mitch Juergens, Riley Nelson. But you got to impress. I still believe for teams like Cincinnati, BYU, you're fighting an uphill battle. Style points matter. They have to. And I know, look, Kalani Sitake said, style points, it's not for me. It's not, you know, we're not into that. You got to be into it this week if you want to go to the Fiesta Bowl.
It's very true. And I think also this current game that we're watching, Michigan and Ohio State, this will be interesting, because if Michigan, you know, wins this game, they're up 21-13 right now, and then maybe they lose in the Big Ten championship game next week to Wisconsin, you could see a scenario where two or three Big Ten teams secure at-large bids. So that's something you maybe want to have the Buckeyes win here against Michigan. A lot of things got to break BYU's way, but like you said, they got to take care of business against USC. And I completely disagree sometimes with Kalani Sitake in the style points argument. Last week, Kalani took a knee and avoided the extra touchdown. To me, when Georgia Southern committed the unsportsmanlike penalty, I would have punched it in and made a statement.
Amen.
And got the style points.
Amen.
Kalani took the high road and wasn't petty about it. But I think in this situation, everyone understands BYU's in a spot where they're not in a power conference yet. They got to make a statement to be able to impress the committee. And I think margin of scoring margin difference is something that's factored in to the committee and their stats that they pour over. I think if you could have a blowout victory against USC, I think USC fans would love it, because then it puts it even further into how bad USC football is. People around here are just down and out about USC football. We'll get into all that coming up a little bit later, but I think that if you could have a 3-touchdown win, 2-touchdown win against USC, that it's a bad football team, USC, but their brand carries a lot of weight in college football. I think it would be a nice statement for BYU if they truly want to get a New Year's Six bid.
And look, I don't feel like we're asking for you to air it out at the, like, come back to that Georgia Southern. You don't need to take a shot down the field of Puka. Just run the football. If they stop the run, okay, great. If they don't, then you score. Like, that's football. And unfortunately, in the current, look, if we get to a 12-team playoff, then style points aren't going to matter. Winning games is going to matter. But right now, that's not the world we live in, Mitch. So when you're knocking on the door, you got to knock on it loudly. And so hopefully this week, they just – because, look, USC's defense is no good. You saw what UCLA did in the last week. Just let's just score 50 points in the first three quarters, then whatever happens, happens. Because that's possible if BYU takes care of the football.
Well, and let's face it, too. This BYU team, I think, deserves a far better bowl than the Independence Bowl.
Yeah.
No disrespect to those Independence Bowl reps who we saw in Provo. Nice folks, had some nice bowl game suits and all of that. But BYU deserves a bigger bowl game than the Independence Bowl. And I hope that BYU can take care of business tonight and be in a spot where they can get to the Fiesta Bowl. Because bowl executives, I mean, if you're listening to this, BYU is going to bring 40,000 fans, guaranteed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this fan base is going to be so hyped up to go to that game, because that's what BYU fans have been clamoring for so many years, for the last quarter century, to go to one of those big bowl games. And it's nice to go into the final regular season game knowing that there's a chance. It might not be the greatest odds, but there's a chance.
Yep.
And I think that's all Cougar fans can ask for in this final week of the season as an independent.
Let's take a break here as we start the show, Cougar Sports Saturday. Plenty of USC and BYU talk as we get ready for the final regular season football game. BYU Utah, we'll get into that in hour number two. So much more to go. We'll continue to break down the Trojans and the Cougars next on Cougar Sports Saturday. Welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday. It's Matt Biamonte and Mitch Harper. Jam-packed day of BYU sports, and I'm sure you're watching this, Mitch, with Michigan on the goal line, about to go up two scores on Ohio State. So things are getting very interesting at the Big House. We'll keep you updated all day long. And women's basketball up by one late in the third quarter against a ranked West Virginia team. So we'll stay abreast of that game as well. But this BYU-USC matchup, it's kind of a bummer to me that USC is not as good as they should be, because this would be a really enticing matchup at the end of the year. And also, I'm sure you feel the same way, Mitch, but this uniform matchup is just going to look absolutely fantastic. I know it has nothing to do with the outcome of the game, but BYU breaking out the Oreo Royal uniforms, which is a royal helmet, white top, blue bottom, USC. It always looks good. It's fantastic. And this is still, even though USC's 4-6, still an interesting matchup, and BYU's got to be careful. They can't just sleepwalk their way to a win against USC.
They can't, but the thing that helps BYU, Matt, is that I don't think the Trojans honestly care right now.
Yeah.
I really don't. I think they want to pack up shop and end this season, because they got an interim head coach in Dante Williams, who replaced Clay Helton, who oddly enough is now at Georgia Southern, the team that BYU beat last week. And I just think that USC, they want to just move on to 2022, get their new head coach, and whether that's Dave Aranda, whether that's Matt Campbell, maybe Kalani Sitake, who knows, they want to move on. And even this week at practice, after their Tuesday, their first padded practice of the week, Dante Williams discussed the low energy from his USC football team.
The way that we started practice today, we definitely didn't bounce back, right? It was definitely slow, so I had to get on a couple guys and fire guys back up. And that's why, between the end of practice, I had to bring people up to make sure we understand the way we started practice is not our standard. That was terrible, right? You can't just all of a sudden show up for a football game and think anything's going to go your particular way. So the sense of urgency definitely has to pick up. So when we started practice, we have not bounced back. Right. As the course of practice kind of went on, I felt a little more sense of urgency. I feel guys starting to pick it up. But at the same time, like, coaches don't lead teams to prominence and dominance. Right. It has to be player driven. And right now we need some of those leaders to continue to step up.
That was Dante.
Matt, when I hear that, I got to say, like, BYU should win by at least two touchdowns, at least when a team is being told by their coach to the media. It was terrible. It was just a downright awful practice.
Two words, though, Mitch, and this has hurt BYU in the past. Back up quarterback. So it's not going to be Keaton Slovitz. It's going to be Jackson Dart, a local kid at a Corner Canyon High School. He's put up some good numbers. He's also turnover prone, so there might be an opportunity to pick off some passes. But Jackson Dart can throw the football around, and if you get into a shootout, anything can happen. But that commentary out of Los Angeles was not a good indication of the team's mentality right now for USC.
Well, and they gave up a ton of points last week, more than 60 to UCLA. So they got a bad defense. And I think BYU's offense should be able to put up a lot of numbers. But I think BYU's defense, can they slow down the air raid attack with Jackson Dart, who BYU gave his first scholarship offer to when he was a unknown recruit at Roy High School, and then he transferred over to Corner Canyon last year and became a Gatorade Player of the Year. So we got to get to break. On the other side, we'll continue to talk more BYU-USC with Max Tooley. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, live from Los Angeles here on KSL News Radio.
It's proudly brought to you by SRE.com. This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Sports Saturday,
a presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans for Cougar fans. It's Cougar Sports Saturday. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio. A lot of great college football games being played right now. Texas Tech-Baylor is a close one, and that's a meaningful one for BYU's chances at a New Year's Six bowl game. Red Raiders down three on the road at Baylor, and then, of course, Michigan just scored. They're up 28-13 on Ohio State. No team in this rivalry has ever come back from 15 points down, and right now Michigan of 15. But right, we're going to switch gears here. Get back to BYU and USC, and we're going to bring on a guy playing in this football game tonight. He is linebacker Max Tooley. And Max, thanks for spending some time with us here on Cougar Sports Saturday.
Yeah, of course. Appreciate you guys.
Hey, first thing, I gotta look in the past quickly. After the win against Georgia Southern, Kalani Sitake is talking about burritos being thrown onto the field. Did you witness any burrito tossing by the Georgia Southern fans?
I actually did witness that burrito toss. I was, I was kind of shocked. I was like, I didn't think they'd really throw burritos or anything else at us. But, I mean, I guess that's just the tone that they set. And, you know, we're fine with that. You know, that's college football for you. As we've been there before, so.
Where does the burrito toss rank up there with weird stuff you've seen thrown onto the field?
I mean, I don't think it beats the Utah State game for sure. That was kind of getting wild at the end of the game. Those fans were, you know, a rivalry game is obviously going to be a little bit more intense and a little bit more personal. You know, they got our Instagrams looked up and our girlfriend's name memorized and whatnot. So that was interesting. But, you know, I don't know. It's always fun playing in those environments, though.
Max Tooley's our guest here on Cougar Sports Saturday. You guys are 9-2 on the year right now. And coming off the heels of a 2020 year in which you double-digit win team, you finish high in the college football rankings, and then you lose a bunch of guys in the NFL. And for what you guys have been able to do so far throughout this season, how do you think you guys have met your expectations so far?
Yeah, I think we had a great season last year with what we were given, and we had really high expectations of this year, even losing a lot of dudes. But, I mean, I think nobody was surprised to see the outcome of this season so far. And we've been happy with what we've been able to accomplish, but, you know, we're always looking for more. You know, we're looking to finish our season hot, hopefully go and beat USC and then win our bowl game and call it another successful year.
You guys continue to climb the college football playoff rankings this year. You're up to 13. Now, kind of right outside that threshold for being eligible for a New Year's Six bowl game. Is that something that you guys have been paying attention to and strive to be a part of?
I mean, obviously, I think everybody on the team would love to be a part of a New Year's Six bowl. And, I mean, you can only do so much with what we're given. So we're going to, you know, give it our best shot on Saturday against USC and see what happens, you know, with the rest of the country and whatnot. But obviously that would be an awesome goal and achievement for each and every one of us, is to make it to a New Year's Six game. Something that I'd love to say personally. So, yeah, but we're mostly just focused, you know, this week trying to beat USC, and then whatever happens, happens.
You played in the USC game back in 2019. What do you remember about that game, which was one of the great games from that season, an overtime win for you guys?
USC, it was my redshirt freshman year. I think, honestly, that was kind of what I would consider my breakout type game. You know, I was given the most opportunities, the most snaps that game, just based off of injuries that happened and, you know, circumstances from that game. And I think being a part of that game was really what introduced me to college football and how exciting the game really can be. And obviously being a part of that and being a pretty big contributor in that game was, you know, something that really made my career a lot more exciting for me.
Is it noticeable, Max, when you play a team like USC, just the history and the logo, it's such an iconic brand. Is that something that just feels different leading up to the game?
Oh yeah. I think, you know, playing any Power 5 team or any team in general, you know, especially a team like USC with some rich history, being a powerhouse early in these last couple decades. And, you know, they're always going to be a great team with a lot of great players. So I think any time where the level of competition is that high, it's always going to be a high-paced, exciting game to play in. And obviously, yeah, we're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to getting another Power 5 game under our belts and, you know, just trying to make the most of our opportunities.
USC not having the year that I think that they would expect they would have, a losing record on the year. You guys are favored in this game. How do you in this defense, how do you not overlook a USC team that struggled at times this season?
I mean, that's college football for you, really, especially, you know, a Pac-12 or one of these Power 5 conferences, one of these teams. They can come to play a totally different mindset than they did the week before, where they may have lost. I think that's always something that we're well aware of. Our record doesn't always represent what we're going to see from a team on Saturday, just like how we saw a good performance from Georgia Southern from a G5 team, a Sunbelt team. So I think we're all of us are expecting a good game, and, you know, they got great athletes. I think it'll be a good one. So
Max Tooley is our guest here on Cougar Sports Saturday for a few more moments. Where does having 10 win seasons and especially this USC game being a Power 5 game, which you've mentioned, Max, and you guys have a chance to go undefeated against a bunch of Pac-12 teams this year. Is that something that's been on your guys' radar, going undefeated against these Pac-12 teams?
I mean, yeah, obviously that's kind of a running joke within the locker room and even the fans, BYU fans on social media and whatnot, is, you know, how we're undefeated in the Pac-12. We would be probably leading the Pac-12 South.
Yep.
Essentially playing, but I mean, none of that really matters when it all comes down to it. But I think it is kind of a pride thing. It's nice to be known as, you know, a lower tier, you know, some people say G5 or Power 5 team, or even considered a G5 team, beating these Pac-12 teams who, you know, are all good teams in their own respects. So I think that's obviously something that we'd love to come out with the end of the season with, is just a 6-0 record against the Pac-12. Not a bad feeling.
Definitely not. I know BYU fans would love that. It doesn't matter now if you guys go into the Big 12, but, you know, having that in the back, you know, feather in the cap, so to speak, as you enter into a new league in a couple of years, would be pretty sweet. You've had to battle through injury this year. How have you been able to do that and continue a high level of play? You're third on the team in tackles. You've been productive, but how have you been able to battle through that?
Yeah, I mean, fall camp was tough for me. I've never really experienced an injury that's put me out more than a couple weeks. So I think just trying to bounce back and, get to full strength the beginning of the season was, you know, obviously a big emphasis for me. But, I mean, as I've gotten back into better playing shape, I felt like I've kind of picked off where I left off, you know. And obviously with guys going down, there's been more slack needed to pick up. And, you know, I think it's a good opportunity for me to, you know, produce and make an impact on the field.
It's been a bummer seeing guys go down, as you mentioned. Peyton Wilgar, the most recent one out for the year. Then obviously Keenan Peely earlier. One guy that's really stepped up and been a breakout player for you guys at the linebacker position, besides yourself, of course, Ben Bywater. How fun has it been to see him emerge as a real playmaker for the defense?
Yeah, I mean, Ben came in, you know, first game of the year, he had to step up. I was out for that game, and, you know, Keenan and Peyton were obviously still in, but he came in and he took it well. I mean, he's just a redshirt freshman. So he came in and stepped in and did what he needed to do, and he has the whole year. So, I mean, there's nothing more you can ask than just having depth and guys that you trust to come in, and Ben's obviously proved himself as one of those guys.
The USC game will be the 12th different uniform you guys have worn. Where does this combination rank up there with the uniforms you guys have played in this year in your eyes?
I mean, it's hard to ask that because honestly, I think all our uniforms look pretty clean in their own way, but you can't go wrong with the majority white, in my opinion. And I do love the Royal helmets. So I think this will be a good look for us this year. I'm excited. You know, we're going to look swaggy. Whatnot. So
nice.
Well, whatever the people say, you know.
Drips. Yep. Billy's done a great job. Yeah. I think really upping the swag you guys get and the uniform combinations. It's been fun to see. Last thing for you, Max. What do you think will be the key defensively for your guys' defense to come out with a win down in LA against USC?
I mean, I think it's just a matter of, you know, staying honest with every assignment we've got. You know, USC is known to be an air raid team, and obviously we know they're going to come out and they got some guys who can throw the ball, and that's going to be obviously a big focal point, but they do have some good backs as well. And I mean, a complete defense needs to stop the run and the pass. So I think, you know, just taking on every aspect of what USC has to throw at us, I think as long as we can stay committed to our assignments and whatnot, we should be all right.
He's BYU linebacker Max Tooley. He'll be playing a little bit later today against USC. Thanks for spending some time with us. Good luck, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Again, thanks to Max Tooley, linebacker for BYU. We'll take the break here on Cougar Sports Saturday on the other side. BYU playing in a recently renovated Coliseum down in LA. Where does this rank amongst the venues that BYU has played at on the road in their history as a football program? You've got to believe there's going to be a big crowd on hand for BYU faithful down in LA. So we'll take the break. More to go here.
Welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio, coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. KSL News time, 12:52 p.m. It's a game day, a super Saturday for BYU athletics and for the football team. They kick off tonight against the USC Trojans, 8:30 kick. Pregame gets started at 6:30 here on KSL. And, Matt, it's a special venue. It's one of the, I think, the cathedrals of college football, the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. BYU is going to be making only their second trip to the Coliseum in program history. A little bit strange to think that BYU and USC have only met four times in the history of these well-known brands out west in college football. Where does maybe the Coliseum stack up, in your opinion, among the great cathedrals of college football that BYU has played in or you've seen the Cougars play in it over the years?
It's on the second tier for me. I would put Neyland Stadium on that top tier. I would put playing at the Rose Bowl against UCLA in the Bronco Mendenhall era up there. I'd probably put Nebraska slightly above the Coliseum. But the Coliseum, for sure, I think is the best West Coast venue in college football. It's just a bummer that, like I said earlier, that this game isn't as anticipated as it normally would have been if USC was playing up to their level of play in the past 20 years. But yeah, so second tier for me, but still a great place, and I think the showing from BYU fans is going to be off the charts tonight.
BYU fans, I think this is going to be maybe 25,000-30,000, maybe. I think that, you know, this will be a big turnout. It's going to be a sea of royal blue tonight. I would put the Coliseum as the third best venue. I maybe a little bit biased because I went to the BYU USC game in 2003. in LA, and man, I just, that was when USC was amazing with Liner. I mean, that's when it was getting started. Let me say, with Pete Carroll, that was like the second start of Matt Leinart's tenure as the quarterback, and they had Mike Williams. And I just think I kind of was in awe of the USC brand and that dun 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 dun.
Yes.
Dun,
yes.
Dun. Like, I just I love that sound. It was just, I don't know, like, it was something, the mystique of around it. My top five would go 5, Nebraska. That was pretty awesome. The Lincoln, the experience there, the fans were great. 4, Neyland Stadium in 2019. 3, the Coliseum. 2, Jerry's World, because it was the first game ever. I think that circumstance is just how big of a deal the Dallas Cowboys Stadium is. And then 1, the Rose Bowl. I love the history of the Rose Bowl. I love these L.A., you know, kind of West Coast football stadiums, because growing up as a kid, I always watched, you know, Pac-10, BYU football. Like, I always watched Western teams. So maybe a little bit of bias there, but those are my top venues I think I've seen BYU playing over the years.
If I had to go a top five, I'd probably go the Big House 5, Rose Bowl 4, I would go Jerry World, the Dallas Cowboys Stadium 3, DKR, Darrell K. Royal Memorial in Austin, Texas. I loved that stadium back when I went to that game. I love Longhorn. Just the vibe of Longhorn football down in Austin was phenomenal. I'd go 2 there. I put Tennessee and Neyland 1. I think that is – look, BYU's played other SEC teams, but I think the overall atmosphere was the best for when BYU beat Tennessee back in 2019. So, look, I could be biased because that was my first in-person trip to the SEC, and it was just as great and glorious as it could have ever been. I mean, I'm eating barbecue on the river, tailgating beforehand, and then the football game was phenomenal. But I think there is one thing I will miss about independent football – is you're not going to play in as many cool venues from year to year as you did in independent football. It was incredible coast to coast what BYU was able to do in terms of a scheduling perspective in independent football.
You know, that's a good point, Matt, because I think that this game tonight, I think a lot of Cougar fans are going to show up from this part of the country because they might not get many more chances to see BYU in person on the West Coast. And I hope that even in the Big 12 era, BYU can have a presence still in California, because I don't think you want to abandon that connection, because Southern California is a recruiting hotbed for BYU. I mean, Aaron Roderick even said this week, it is an important place. He's one of the ace recruiters out in Orange County and here in Southern California. He does, it's a big time spot for BYU to get recruits because there's a lot of LDS guys. I don't think you want to abandon the possibility of playing teams in this state, in this part of the country, because BYU is going to primarily be playing in the Plains, in the Midwest, and then obviously, you know, in Utah and the Intermountain West with Idaho, probably with Boise State. Don't abandon California completely. I think Tom Homo's going to have to find a way to get creative to factor in still maybe a USC, because there's another game in the future in 2023, Stanford potentially, because you want to have that pipeline to say, hey, you're going to be able to come home in your career at some point and play in front of your home fans. So having a California presence still on the schedule would be important.
I like that. And BYU head coach Kalani Sitake loves the matchup and loves playing in the Coliseum.
It's a great place for events. And then obviously for football, it's a place that the guys are used to seeing on TV, and I want them to embrace the setting, and that's the whole point of showing gratitude, having a good time with it, you know, and embrace the opportunity to have to play in that stadium. And then they'll look around and they'll see a lot of blue, and they'll see all the wonderful, they'll remember all the wonderful athletes and great talent that have been on that field. And so they can add this to their list of where they played, got to play, and that's, it's going to be a lot of fun. So that's, embrace the moment, have fun with it.
BYU and USC tonight at 8:30. We'll continue to break down the game here on Cougar Sports Saturday. We'll also talk BYU basketball coming up next and get you an update on BYU women's hoops against nationally ranked West Virginia. It's Cougar Sports Saturday from Los Angeles, and it's powered by KSLSports.com.
To this.
Is proudly brought to you by SRE.com. This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for 3! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports.
Sports Saturday. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Hour number two underway here on the program. Huge day in BYU sports, football against USC, men's basketball later tonight in the rivalry at Utah, a matchup of two undefeated teams. Women's soccer a little later today in the Elite Eight against South Carolina. And women's basketball on Thursday, upset number 17 Florida State. And a moments ago, their matchup against number 22 West Virginia just ended. Here's how it sounded at the conclusion on Flow Sports.
Shaylee Gonzalez, the sophomore, Gilbert, Arizona. She's got 16. This to put him in front, and she does. And she makes the second. Okay. It'll be Martinez to trigger it in. They're down two. 3.1 seconds left. They go underneath. Nye Black gets tied up under there, and a foul is called. So Nye Black, though, has to make both. And
oh, what a big
the
shot.
First.
Big shot for her.
And it rolls off. And it's over. BYU has won the St. Pete Showcase.
That was from Flow Sports. BYU takes down West Virginia 58-57. The Cougars in women's hoops are now 7-0 on the season. Lee Cumard stepped in as the interim head coach in replace of Jeff Judkins, who tested positive this week for COVID-19. But the perfect month in BYU sports is ongoing, Matt. Every BYU team is undefeated this month. It's pretty remarkable. And this BYU women's basketball team, I think, has Elite Eight type of potential. Yeah. They're really good. And the nation, I think, is going to start to take notice of this group. They should be in the top 25 for sure. Maybe the top 10 next week.
Top 15, please. I mean, they're undefeated. They beat a bunch of ranked teams. I give it to them. What I love about this team, too, is they have so many offensive weapons. There was a moment in that fourth quarter. Side note, is it totally weird to you that women's college hoops is four quarters and men's is two halves? I've never understood that. But
yeah, I've never understood that myself either.
In the fourth quarter, BYU was going on a drought, and then they got a couple putbacks. They were still trailing, and then Paisley Harding drilled a deep three to put them in front. So they've got Shaylee Gonzalez, they got Paisley Harding, they got Lauren. I mean, they have so many weapons. Shaylee has 20 points, Harding off the bench with 13. This I'm totally with you. This team has the makings of a deep tournament run. Really exciting stuff down for BYU women's basketball.
It is exciting stuff. And BYU men's basketball looks to continue the winning ways tonight against the Utah Utes. It's crazy to think, Matt, that a huge rivalry game between two undefeated teams, BYU and Utah, come into the game at 5-0. It's kind of a little bit in the back burner, just a bit. Tip-off is set for 7:30 p.m. It'll be on the Pac-12 network, so probably good luck finding that. But nonetheless, BYU got a chance to take down the Utes. And one of the guys that hopefully, if he's healthy, and because I know late in the game against Texas Southern, he went out to be checked by trainer Rob Ramos. Mark Pope said he's going to be okay, but Gideon George, forward for the Cougars, fresh off a 16-rebound career high in that win over Texas Southern. He joins us now here on the program. And Gideon, how does it feel to be a part of a team that's nationally ranked this early in the season?
It feels good, though, you know. But, like, seeing BYU there, like, we're one of, like, the top 25 team in the country, so it does feel good. But the work ain't done, so we still got a lot of work to do. So, but it feels good to see our name up there, though, for sure.
Was this kind of when you committed to BYU? I remember you had a recruiting visit, at that Gonzaga game, and a memorable game in 2020. Was this sort of arrangement where you guys are nationally ranked in the national conversation, was that kind of what, you know, Pope and this staff envisioned when they were recruiting you?
Kind of, yeah. I'd say, like, you know, like, when Pope was recruiting me, like, he showed tons of love, you know. Like, he came out to see me. Like, I was like, I need a coach. Like, something more than a coach. Like, a father figure to me, too, not just a coach. So, like, he did show that. He came out to see my brother, too. So, he came out to see me in New Mexico, like, twice. So, and BYU is a great program. So, that's why.
talk with Gideon George here. And, you know, last year you had some great performances. I remember St. Mary's defensively. You locked up Cousy. And this year, your starter, your key piece to this BYU team. Maybe just describe the areas that you look to improve in your game coming into this year.
I want to be the best defender on the floor every single night. So, and like be the best cutter on the team too, and knock down open shots. So just keep it simple though. That's just simple.
Does it help too to reach your best and be get better every day, as you guys like to say? Does it help when you're facing such great competition every day in practice?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like it does. But like the scout, the goal team, like out there, we got tons of guys that can really hoop. You know, my teammates too. You know, facing like Alex, going against Alex at practice, going against Trevin now at practice. So like every single guy is like, everyone is a great player out there. So like they help me to get better too every day. So yeah.
Alex, you know, I feel like the nation's kind of sleeping on Alex a little bit. You guys obviously know how good he is, and I think Cougar Nation does too. But what type of work does he put in behind the scenes that not the public doesn't get to see? What type of worker is Alex Barcelo?
Alex is a workaholic, though. Like, he put in the work. He put in the time, for sure. He's a gym rat. So, and I feel like people do sleep on him, like, a lot. He's a really, like, if you get to play against that man every day at practice, which I did, so I'm grateful for that. Like, he's really, really good. So, I think, like, people do sleep on Alex. Like, he's a satisfied baller, though, for sure.
And I know that you guys were pretty satisfied. We had some of the big wins this year against San Diego State and Oregon. And I point out that San Diego State game because you had a special shoe drive back in that game. I'm curious. It was for Timeout for Africa. How many shoes ended up being donated by all the fans that were in attendance that night?
6,000 pairs of shoes. Like, I just walked in the locker room today. I saw some more shoes. I was like, people keep donating shoes. So, yeah, I really do appreciate Cougars Nation. Like, they have a place in my heart for sure for that. Like, them, not only me, like, they care about the kids back home. They would, like, want to help the kids to keep them away from, like, food diseases. Give them shoes to go to church, too, back home. So I'm really grateful for that.
For fans that aren't familiar with home for you, where are those shoes going? If you could tell them, like, what part of the world they're going to be going, and just so they know, you know, the kids are going to be blessed by that those donations.
So he's going to Nigeria. I'm gonna break it down. So he's going to Nigeria. He's going to like Lagos, Nigeria first. Then from Lagos, they're going to ship it down to Mina, Nigeria. So the main stopping point is Mina, Nigeria, my hometown.
And what do you have any additional plans throughout the season to do additional drives or additional charities and causes to help your home again?
Like the 6,000 pairs of shoes, like
pretty good.
It's pretty good. It's like a lot. I'm like, I think we're going to like give every kids back home in Mina pairs of shoes. So I'm working on that. Like with the Timeout to Africa, so we're working on that. So we'll let Cougars Nation know for sure. Like we got big projects coming on though. So like we're working on that with Timeout to Africa for sure.
Last thing for you, Gideon, what do you remember about that Utah rivalry last year here in the Marriott Center?
There was no fans in here, so it was like a boring gym. You hear coach yell a lot. Like obviously, like this year is like different. So I know that BYU fans, like if we're going down on the road to Utah, so I know BYU fans are going to be. They're going to be like tons of BYU fans out there. So I can't even wait to see you out there, Cougars Nation.
That's Gideon George, BYU forward, here for the BYU basketball team, a key starter for this group. The number 18 Cougars in action against the Utes at the Huntsman Center. Tip-off is at 7:30. We'll break down the game more. We'll take a break. We'll get some insight from myself and Matt on BYU and Utah basketball tonight. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday. A huge Cougar Sports Saturday, I should add. BYU Women's Hoops got things off the right way with a close victory over number 22 West Virginia moments ago. And now we're getting ready for BYU Utah and BYU Women's Soccer Elite Eight against South Carolina. And then to finish off the night, BYU at USC. That can pregame will start right here on KSL News Radio at 6:30 p.m. Kick at 8:30 p.m. Mountain Time. But that basketball game, which is being really, I think, overlooked because of this football game, because, look, football is still king in this country, and this is a really a really big matchup for BYU football. Even though USC is not good, how often do you get to finish the year with a brand like USC? Not very often in independent football. So that's big time. And it's just a bummer that it's overshadowing what is going to be a really fun rivalry game between BYU and Utah at the Huntsman Center, two undefeated teams. What's your take on this year's rendition of the rivalry, Mitch?
This is going to be a tough game, Matt. This is going to be BYU's toughest test to date, as Oregon has looked like they're a fraud. You know, Oregon's getting blown out every game since they played BYU. Utah is undefeated. They haven't played anyone of significant note. BYU's got wins over San Diego State and Oregon and a bunch of teams that have been in the NCAA tournament last year. So Utah's strength of schedule is not good. It's in the bottom 50 in the KenPom ratings. So how good truly are they? But the thing is that the only sub-100 KenPom loss of the Mark Pope era, that's a mouthful, came against Utah 2 years ago at the Huntsman Center, and the Cougars haven't won at the Huntsman Center. I had to double-check this in 10 years. It's been a long time since they won at the Huntsman Center, so it's been a place recently, once again, that's gave them some issues. So this is going to be a tough ball game, but I think that the senior leadership of Alex Barcelo and T. John Lucas in the backcourt should win the day for BYU, because Utah's guard, Utah State transfer Marco Anthony, who came down from Logan to Salt Lake with Craig Smith, he's a game-time decision with an ankle injury, so that's going to be something to monitor. But Lucas and Barcelo should be the guys that lead the way, and they should shine for BYU if they're going to come away with this victory.
I think BYU will win this game. It is more challenging than I originally gave it credit for when we were talking about this game a few weeks ago, or I thought BYU would breeze by them. I still think BYU will win and win comfortably, but there are some elements to this game where BYU is going to be challenged. In particular, this is going to be a, for lack of a better term, a bloodbath on the boards. Both of these teams are dang good rebounding teams. Utah is fourth in the country in rebounding margin. BYU is really good too. They're 20th, but Utah, and we're going to find out tonight, is Utah as good as maybe their early success has shown, or is it a byproduct of a weak schedule? We're about to find out, because if they are that good on the glass and they're led by a 7-footer, and that to me is the challenge. Because BYU is not going to have Richard Harward. We don't know when he's going to play. If Harward's playing, then I like the matchup with which Richard Harward being able to slow down Utah's 7-footer, Brendan Carlson. But if Carlson has his way with his 7-foot frame, then it could be an interesting matchup. So Lohner, Traore, Gavin Baxter. I mean, if there's a game for Gavin Baxter to show the world, hey, I was a dang good recruit, and these injuries slowed me down, and I'm back. This is the game, because you need Gavin Baxter to really help out on the glass against a really good rebounding team led by Brandon Carlson, as I mentioned. So the rebounding is the key, I think, to me. And look, Mark Pope and Alex Barcelo and Caleb, all these guys, like, they talk about it's the rebounding, it's the defense. That's what drives the train for us. Let's find out from Utah.
It's the first installment of Mark Pope versus Craig Smith in the BYU-Utah era. Now, Mark Pope got the upper hand against Craig Smith when he was at Utah State the past 2 years against the Aggies. So this will be, I think, a good, healthy rivalry that I think will continue when BYU goes into the Big 12 Conference. I think even Mark Pope said it back in September when the schedule was released. He wants to maintain BYU and Utah, and I think Craig Smith wants to as well. So I think that's going to be a healthy dynamic that I think Cougar fans will appreciate now that Larry Koskoviak's gone. I think there's going to be more of a mutual respect between the two coaches in this series, because Larry K didn't want to play the game. He didn't have really any respect for BYU, at least what it seemed like, and he never wanted to play the game. He just seemed like he was put out and that his team wasn't safe playing BYU. That was pre-pandemic. He was ahead of the curve when it came to safety. But the thing is that Pope and Craig Smith, they got a good relationship, and I think it's going to be a competitive one. So I think this will be a fun series, and it'll be the first year of a what should be a improved rivalry. Because, man, Matt, you know, BYU and Utah basketball back in the day, it used to be bigger than the football game. Like back in the 70s and the 80s, like BYU-Utah basketball was a big thing. And hopefully this can be the beginning of that getting back to lofty levels of excitement here in the state. Because right now it feels like people are sleeping on college basketball a little bit and BYU and Utah. But these are two good teams this year, and I think that it's going to be a good game tonight at the Huntsman Center.
And running Utes and led by Craig Smith in his first year, he's got his hands full because first-year coaches at Utah have not fared well in this rivalry. They're only 3-12 all-time in their first meeting against BYU, and it's only happened one time in like the last 40 years, and that was Ray Giacoletti back in 2005. So first-year coaches not fared well for Utah. And look, forget about the random historical facts. When you really break it down on the court, I just don't know if Utah has anybody that can slow down BYU's guards. And I'm including Spencer Johnson and even Trevin Nell in that mix, because so much is focused on Barcelo and Lucas, and they have been outstanding. And it also goes to show how much experience matters, because those guys just look so good. They're poised. They look in control. Barcelo doesn't look rushed at all. It's like the game is slow for Barcelo. But then that second unit with Spencer Johnson and Trevin Nell, they can shoot threes, they can play defense. I just don't know who on Utah's team can slow down a great backcourt for BYU.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. And I think that, you know, for BYU, they got to shoot the three ball well, too. There's been games, you know, against Oregon, they shot it well, and they ran away with that win. And you saw that firepower that when BYU is clicking, man, they are hard to beat. But against Cleveland State, against San Diego State, against Texas Southern earlier this week, the three ball has just not been falling at a consistent clip. I think when you go into your first true road venue game of the season, you better knock down the three. And I think that, you know, Barcelo had a little bit of a off night offensively by Alex Barcelo standards, still one of the more efficient players in college basketball. Get that bad performance out of the way against Texas Southern. You can still win when that happens. But against Utah, Alex Barcelo has got to be that All-American guard that I think he is, man. I mean, I think Alex Barcelo is one of the four best guards in college basketball this year. He is a special player for BYU, and he's got to come up big if the Cougars want to get this win, because it's pretty much a toss-up game between the Cougars and the Utes.
And I got to believe deep down for Barcelo, Mitch, I'm sure you remember this because we were both there. Deep down, I think he really wants this one because he was given the opportunity to beat Utah in 2019, missed the shot, goes to OT, they lose. Barcelo is such a competitor. I got to believe deep down he's like, hey, I got to get this one because I had a chance to get it 2 years ago and I didn't get it. So Barcelo's going to be motivated for this one. Let's get to a break here, Mitch. News, traffic, and weather coming up next. Michigan just scored again. They're going to win. The streak is over. Michigan's put up 42 on Ohio State. They're up 2 scores with 2 minutes to go after another Wolverine touchdown. So that's going to shake things up in the CFP. We'll talk about that later and much more here. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
Saturday is proudly brought to you by SRE.com. This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans. For Cougar fans. It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Hour number two rolls on here on Cougar Sports Saturday. KSL News Time, 1:36 p.m. It's been a good year for teams that wear blue against their rival that have a long losing streak. Michigan just took down Ohio State the same year that, you know, BYU ends their long losing streak against Utah. Washington State ended their long losing streak against Washington. A lot of rivalry streaks are ending in college football, and it seems like it's been a long time since we've had in our favorite segment of the show, a top five. I think Matt Biamonte, that you're on a winning streak, so I'm trying to end that losing streak for me here in the top five.
The Cougar
Cougar Sports Saturday Top 5. Mitch and Matt clash in a weekly battle of BYU sports knowledge. The Cougar Sports Saturday Top 5.
Yeah, it's the Top 5, and it's always brought to you by Economic Partners, Utah's premier business evaluation and strategic consulting firm. Need a business evaluation? Contact econpartners.com. They're ran by diehard Cougar fans, BYU MBAs. It's econpartners.com. We'll bring on the maestro of the Top 5, our producer, Dallin Graff. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving, Dallin. What do we got on deck for this week's Top 5?
Yeah, you know, good to be back with the Top 5. And I think you're right. Matt has been on a bit of a win streak here over the last few Top 5 segments. So we'll see if an upset is in store today for Mitch. But we're going to talk about BYU basketball. Let's keep it in the BYU hoops realm, because the Cougars, the men's team, is off to a 5-0 start. It's the 11th time in BYU's history they've gotten off to a 5-0 start. There's only 5 times in BYU's history. My research dating back, you know, I didn't go all the way back. There's a lot of seasons there, but very far back. It's only 5 times that BYU has started a season 6-0 on the hardwood. So today, that is the top 5. The 5 times that BYU basketball has started their season with a 6-0 start. So we're going to start with Matt this week. Chance to continue your win streak, and you get the first guess. You just got to give me the year of that year, you know, that team. So, for example, the 2021-2022 season, if that makes sense. So, Matt, we'll let you go first here with your first guess.
Wow. This is going to be a hard – I'm going to go – this is a hard top five. I'm gonna go with – let's start with 1993.
It's a good guess.
So, let's see here. I'm going to say 2010-2011, Jimmer senior year.
Yes, Mitch gets an easy one out of the way here. The Cougars that season started off 10-0, not losing until December 18th against UCLA.
Gotcha.
Neutral site game, that one. But yeah, 10-0 that season for that Jimmer-led squad. Obviously, this is the Sweet 16 team. This is the National Player of the Year season for Jimmer. Obviously a fantastic season, one of the best for BYU hoops, but also a season that started off very hot for the Cougars.
And I forget that they started 10-0. I remember the UCLA loss, because that was like an opportunity to really build on the resume. I thought that was sooner. It wasn't 10-0. That was an awesome year, and hey, maybe this year is shaping up to be a year like that one.
All right, Matt, you've got the guess here.
I think it's Mitch, actually, because I went first. Okay. I missed. It's Mitch. Yeah, it's Mitch's turn.
All right, back to back. Yes. Mitch, what do you got?
I'm going to go with 1987.
Wow. Mitch.
Mitch is rolling.
Doing well so far. 1987-1988, the Cougars started the season 17-0, finally losing a game on February 6th. At Alabama Birmingham, 17-0 that season. That was a team that ended up going to the second round of the NCAA tournament. They were a 4 seed, won their first round matchup before losing to Louisville in the second round. But 26-6 on that season, and again another one where, I mean, you get off to a 17-0 start. That is a special team for BYU. They were ranked as high as number 3 in the AP poll that season. So again, another team that you might not think about, but man, what a start! 17-0, that is incredible.
Yeah, I always remember that one because it's the year I was born, so it's easy to remember that. But yeah, it's just 17-0, not very common that happens. And yeah, they had a chance to be number 1 in the polls had they just taken care of business against UAB. I've talked with Jeff Chapman in the past about that group and Michael Smith and those guys, and they're like, we had that chance to get to number 1, but missed opportunity there. And they kind of teetered out a little bit. They didn't get as far as maybe they should have with that talented a roster that year in 87-88. But yeah, heck of a start though, going 17-0.
All right, Matt, what's your next guess?
I'm gonna try a Danny Ainge team, 1981.
It's a good wow. It's a good place to guess. You usually can't go wrong with the Danny Ainge guess here.
Wow,
we're talking about BYU hoops, but yes, no. Did not get quite the hot start, that team.
I'm going to take a guess here. It's just tough because BYU's always had a hiccup or two that in the first handful of games. I'll go 1975.
I like that. I like that. I'm going to give a couple of hints here. We've got one game or one season left in the Dave Rose era of BYU basketball, so keep that in mind. We also have one left from the Roger Reed era of BYU basketball, and then we've got one from the Stan Watts era, a throwback there. If you guys get that final one, you might get extra points. But those are like, one from the Roger Reed era, one from the Dave Rose era. Let's go back to Matt with a guess.
Let's try 2015 was a good year. Let's try 2015. Woof.
The hint with Dave Rose, I think, helps. 2007-2008 season.
No, 2007-2008, they started off 5-0, but did not get to 6-0, lost that sixth game. So just missed out.
I remember that. They lost to Boise State, I remember. They were nationally ranked, and the team was too consumed by playing Wii. I remember that now. Oh, gosh. I'm having flashbacks. They blamed it on playing too much Wii Sports.
Well,
that's
that really
a fact.
Dates that
hey,
team
I don't blame them. That consumed
the
everybody when Wii Sports came out. That was revolutionary.
That was big time.
They played too much Wii Sports anyway. I digress.
Price is Right, 2008-2009.
There we go. Okay, Matt on the board. 2008-2009. The Cougars started off 10-0 that season, losing their first game of the season December 20th against Arizona State. That was a neutral site game.
That was a win.
Number 20
that
team in
been
the country.
A win. Don't you think, Mitch? That should have been a win. That was against James Harden, wasn't it?
Yeah, James Harden, Pendergraph, and Charles Obuo had that bucket. Looked like it was good. And
it was good.
It, off.
It was good.
Yeah.
Controversy aside, still a 10-0 start. And Matt, you get on the board here, so well done. Mitch, we go back to you. Chance to win it all here if you can get one of our final two guesses.
Let's go with 1991.
Wow. Mitch, the encyclopedia.
There you go.
Getting it done. Roger Reed-led team, 7-0 start that season. They lost their first game on a neutral site against number 11 Michigan December 28th. Just a three-point loss there, but they started off 7-0. In fact, all of these teams that we've talked about, all of those were NCAA tournament teams for BYU. You get off to a hot start, usually that leads to some success. That 91-92 season, BYU is a 10 seed in the NCAA tournament, losing to LSU in the first round. So we have one left. Mitch has secured the victory, but want to give you a chance to throw out some guesses. As I mentioned, we're talking the Stan Watts era of BYU basketball. So we're talking way back. Any thoughts here? You want to throw out any dates?
Yes, 1951.
1949.
Let's say 1966.
It is in the 50s, I'll give you that.
1954.
What is it, Dallin?
It is the 1955-1956 season. They started off 6-0. Get this, what a schedule. They played UCLA in back-to-back games, Friday-Saturday games against UCLA, Friday-Saturday games against Oregon, Friday, Saturday games against Colorado, and they were 6-0 to start that season against just three opponents. They lost their next game at number 2 North Carolina State on December 21st that season. So that was their first loss. But, yeah, scheduling a little more difficult back then. You didn't have as many options. So those back-to-backs, they're a pretty interesting start.
Yeah, that's good insight there. Now, that's good stuff, Dallin. It's fitting that I end the losing streak, and the pick I had 1991. They lost to Michigan, who just got a win in their losing streak. It all works in a mysterious way.
Full circle.
BYU, the Fab Five vibe I got here on the top five win here on Cougar Sports Saturday. Good stuff. BYU basketball is a good team, and I think that they got a chance. They win tonight against Utah. I think they go on a little bit of a run. They got some tough in-state games, UVU next week, but they should win that one.
Hold on a
Utah
second.
Utah State coming up.
Tough in-state games? I don't know if there are any tough in-state games this year.
there's plenty of tough in-state games, Matt. Utah Valley, Utah State, they're all pretty good teams.
They are pretty good teams.
Weber State's undefeated?
BYU's in a different class. Look, UVU's on the road, and UVU, they've got a nice center in IMAC. He's going to be a challenge. He's good on the glass, but BYU will win that game. Utah State's at home. New coach. A bunch of guys are playing in this game because they left Utah State to follow Craig Smith to Utah, so that's a W. And what was the other one you mentioned? Weber State?
Yeah, they're undefeated.
No, BYU's going to win that game. Look, BYU,
it's on the road at the D Event Center. You go on the road in college basketball, anything can happen.
Maybe. Look, I just
– Hey, this Mark Pope would tell you, he's like – This is terrifying. This is so challenging, guys. I'm going to get fired. I'm going to get fired from this. So,
no, I don't see a scenario in which Mark Pope would ever get fired. Look, there are some nice teams. I don't want to disrespect these other teams. I'm just saying I think BYU is going to end up near top 50, top 10. I'll say by the end of the year, they're going to be a top 10 basketball team. They're only going to have three losses at the end of the year, a couple Gonzaga and maybe one to St. Mary's. This team is that good. So
you're saying they're going undefeated in non-conference play?
I'm saying they're going undefeated in non-conference play, yeah.
Dang,
I'm saying okay. That right here, right now. Make a note. I said it on November 27th, 2021. Undefeated non-conference play. You heard it here first. Cougar Sports Saturday.
I like it, Matt. I like the confidence there. I think that'd be great for BYU if they could do it.
All right. Congrats, Mitch, on breaking the streak. Congrats to Michigan fans everywhere. My mom's side of the family is probably agonizing. And Ohio State lost. Big Buckeye fans. Look, I was secretly rooting for Michigan, but, you know, I'll never tell them that. So we'll take the break here. Cougar Sports Saturday. Back to football on the other side. Jackson Dart, quarterback for USC, once recruited and offered by BYU. We'll get his thoughts on in a matchup where he leads the Trojans against BYU. Back after this.
Saturday is proudly brought to you by SRE.com. This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougar Mike's winning!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans. For Cougar fans. It's Cougar Sports Saturday. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Hour number three is underway of Cougar Sports Saturday, and KSL News time is 2:06 p.m. We're counting down to BYU versus USC here in Los Angeles. I'll have you covered on KSLSports.com with coverage from the Coliseum. Matt Biamonte and Dan Graff, they'll be at the Huntsman Center for BYU-Utah basketball. So it's a loaded day of BYU sports content, and that football game, though, is going to be a big one. Regardless of USC being down and out at 4-6, the Trojans carry a massive brand name that BYU wants to take down. Again, they did it 2 years ago, and they're looking to do it tonight once again in 2021. And to get an insider look on the Trojans, joined now by USCFootball.com publisher Ryan Hay Abraham, a good friend of mine who's been covering the Trojans for the last 25 years. And Ryan, thanks for joining us. And how motivated is USC for these final two games of the season?
Hey, Mitch. Yeah, I wouldn't say highly motivated. I mean, I think when you talk to the players and coaches, they seem to be saying the right thing, but there was obviously a lot of frustration giving up 62 points to your rival UCLA in the Coliseum. The crazy thing this year, I went back and looked in history. So they've played five home conference games in the Coliseum, giving up 225 points, only scoring 155. I mean, there's a 70-point differential at home in conference play. And we know BYU's dominated the Pac-12 so far. I don't know what it is, but they just do not seem to get up for these home games. And right now, I mean, it's just tough. When you ask Dante Williams, the interim head coach, to go a 10-game stretch, and he wanted to get 11, you know, as the interim head coach, that's just a long time. So it's been a lot of failures with this USC football team, and they seem to be really limping to the finish. So probably a pretty good time for BYU to come into the Coliseum, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think of all these, when you mentioned the home games that USC has had, it's kind of been historical moments for the opposition. You know, Utah's first win since, what, 1919, and Oregon State first time in about 60 years. Is it just something like maybe the frustration from the fan base has leaked over to the team where they just don't feel the support? What is it you think?
Yeah, Stanford was a 17-point underdog and scored in the 40s. Arizona hadn't scored in the 30s all year except in the Coliseum, like still to this day. So, yeah, it's hard to say, but they had some good environments, especially early. That Stanford game was pretty electric for the second game of the season. The student section was getting into it. It just seems like this team is not able to handle much adversity. And just, you know, it's one of those, it's like a boxing thing where you can't take a punch. And as soon as someone punches back, USC seems to fold. And you would think that they would get up for these home games. They've been a little bit more focused on the road, but to me more, it's just about, you know, they're not a buttoned up organization that's, you know, trying to get an interim head coach to come in and fix the culture that Clay Helton kind of eroded around USC for the last 7 years. It just wasn't going to be an easy task. They just need a new head coach to come in and fix things. But you feel bad for the players because there's a lot of talented guys out there and they're just not being directed very well.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with you there. Just following USC from afar, it just seems like the admins have definitely let down the players and student-athletes over this time. And you mentioned a lot of talent on the roster. I kind of wonder, I mean, I always feel like the top 22 at USC should be among the best in college football. I mean, how far away talent-wise is USC from, I don't should say nationally, but at least being in the top tier of the Pac-12 again? Because I still feel like this roster from a talent perspective, it should be, I don't think they're realizing their full potential, a lot of the heralded 4- and 5-star guys on the roster.
Yeah, I think they're close. The problem is, like, if you looked at the 24/7 Sports talent composite, so it's the guys that are still on the team, they use their recruiting rankings, they're still a number, I think they're number 10 in the country right now. I don't think they have top 10 talent. The problem has been really development. They just haven't developed these guys. You see programs, you know, like Utah, Oregon State, that don't get that kind of level of athlete, but they've developed them into what they want to see in the program. This has just not been a coaching staff that has developed these guys. We've seen people regress, like Keaton Slovis as the quarterback. It's been a lot of that. So I think the talent, like as far as like the base of talent is there, but they just haven't been developed over time. And then you get, you know, juniors and seniors that just aren't anywhere. They're any better than when they were as freshmen. And if you're playing a good team like a BYU, they bring in guys that might not be as talented when they're out of high school, but by the time they're a third year in the program, they look like a different player. That's just not been the case for USC.
Talking with USCFootball.com publisher Ryan Abraham. He's been covering the Trojans, I think, what now, since 1996, I think, 25 years? Is that
yeah.
right?
That's a long time. Wow.
That's impressive stuff. And so he knows the Trojans as well as anyone. The quarterback for USC, Jackson Dart, we know him quite well out here in Utah. He was a star at Corner Canyon. I know BYU was his first FBS offer when he was coming up as a kind of an unknown before his senior year in high school. Is Jackson Dart going to be the next big thing at quarterback in the future, you think, for USC?
I think USC is hoping that. They were just trying to find some sort of positivity, and you just watched like their social media feed when they announced Jackson Dart was going to start. And they're all over it. They had photographers around them. They're trying to make something special happen. And, you know, Jackson Dart looked really special when he came into the game against Washington State. And that was Dante Williams' first game after Clay Helton was fired. Keaton Slovis gets hurt. And they, you know, it's a great comeback. And they get a big win. This is the best win of the season. But, you know, he split time in a couple of games. He got the start against UCLA. He's looked fine. You know, he's looked pretty good. And I think a lot of the fan base wanted Jackson Dart to be a magic pill that, oh, the offense stinks, but it's because of Keaton Slovis. Well, Keaton Slovis was really good in 2019. To me, it's more about the offense and the way that has regressed, and they just haven't got much better. Keaton Slovis, Jackson Dart, I think whoever is going to be calling, you know, taking the snaps there, they were going to have some problems because you don't have the kind of receiver talent they might have had a couple of years ago. Drake London not being there is a big deal. And just scheme-wise, it's not something that schemes guys open all that well. So I think in a good offensive system, the future is going to be really bright for Jackson Dart. But I'm just not expecting that much from the last couple of games because it's more been a systematic problem with the offense as opposed to this player wasn't as good as that player kind of thing.
When you talk about the future, Ryan, everyone nationally is wondering about the USC coaching search. And I know there's been national talking heads like Bruce Feldman who have mentioned a Kalani Sitake. who, you know, head coach at BYU. Is Kalani a legit candidate potentially for USC? What's the read, the sense you get about a potential Kalani Sitake candidacy in the USC coaching big board?
Yeah, no, his name has come up from people like Bruce Feldman. They've talked about him, obviously, because he's done such a great job at BYU. Compliment to him. USC's been really quiet about this, which is weird because normally they've had, you know, football player athletic directors didn't know what they were doing. Mike Bone and his chief of staff, Brandon Sofna, the athletic director, they have been really tight-lipped about this entire process. When Clay Helton got fired, no one knew about it. They announced it on social media, which is really hard to do. So they've kept this really close to the vest. I think a name like him, he would be someone that you would want to consider. The problem is USC's had so many bad hires. They kind of have to get somebody that's going to make the fan base get excited because they need to sell tickets. People have just been canceling their season tickets, saying, I'm not going to go back to football games. They know, and they were really unhappy with Mike Bone that he didn't fire Clay Helton 2 years ago. So there's a lot of pressure on this hire. I think they would have to get, you know, a bigger name if at all possible. But certainly he's got a great resume and has shown that, you know, he can play and run the football and play with toughness and play good defense. A lot of USC fans want to get back to that, especially when they went to this more of an air raid thing. They like to see what guys like Kalani Sitake are doing. But I don't know. I think it would be kind of a long shot, but they haven't said anything, so I wouldn't rule anything out.
Yeah, no, I that's what I've always kind of felt just from afar here, because it just seems like USC's got to get that bigger name, and I'm so glad you bring up the air raid thing. It's been so strange as someone who's just always enjoyed watching USC football over the years from afar. It's like USC running the air raid, this just doesn't make sense. They got to have great running backs at USC. And I do think, though, what's interesting, I remember when Mike Bone did say back in September when he spoke to you guys in the media how he talked about the whole student-athlete experience, something along those lines, I'm paraphrasing. It seemed like, you know, Kalani would be a good fit there because he's done a nice job with NIL and things like that. But, I struggle to wrap my mind around Kalani's name being the one that really wins over everyone in L.A. to boost ticket sales and things like that.
Yeah, even just like James Franklin, who's been the head coach at Penn State, fans really don't like him for some reason. And maybe it's because he lost head-to-head to Clay Helton. So maybe the fact that, you know, Kalani beat, you know, Clay Helton heads up a couple of years ago, maybe that's it. I'm not sure. But, yeah, it's weird. The fan base can be really fickle. No matter who gets hired, I think there's going to be some complaints. But they just needed someone that somewhat – they needed to hire someone that other programs would want. They've kept hiring people. No one was going to hire Clay Helton when they hired him and then extended him. And so they need to go out there and get someone like, oh, Dave Aranda, a lot of people want to hire him. Kalani Sitake, if people want to hire him. They just haven't done that in the past. So if they get someone like that, I think the fans should be a little happier than definitely what they've done before.
You can follow him on Twitter at Inside Troy. He's the publisher and owner of USCFootball.com, part of the 24/7 Sports Network. Ryan, I can only imagine what's life been like with a 2-3 month coaching search. So hopefully you can get some much needed break and rest here soon after the season, and appreciate you spending some time with me.
My pleasure, Mitch. Enjoy the game.
It's Ryan Abraham here on KSL News Radio. A great insight look into the USC Trojans. We got to take a break. On the other side, we'll talk more BYU and USC here on Cougar Sports Saturday from L.A.
Proudly brought to you by SRE.com.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Maimonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports,
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
I'm not going to lie, Matt. Sometimes I think the coaching carousel conversation might be more exciting than the actual games. And our text line is blowing up. The UCCU KSL text line 57500. Texter 3917, we were discussing in the previous segment about, you know, does Kalani Sitake factor into the USC coaching search? Because they're 2.5 months in, and they still don't have a clear-cut favorite who could be the guy. And if he makes an impression tonight, does that win people over at Heritage Hall? And Texter 3917 writes, Money always talks, and I'll bet you if USC offered millions more than what BYU pays him, he'll consider it. Well, yeah, 39-17, they'll definitely consider it. Would he take it, though, if USC actually offered? I think that's a different conversation, because I think, honestly, I think you hit it on the head, Matt. Kalani has job security. I mean, had Kalani done what he did at any Power 5 program through 2019, from 2016 to 2019, where they were 2-4 after losses to USF and Toledo, he's fired.
Yep.
BYU stayed patient with him, and that patience is being rewarded. At USC, it's a massive rebuild they have here in LA, whoever takes that job. But I, like you said, I don't think they have the fan base has the patience, because I think they're looking at it, okay, we fired Clay Helton. Now it's time to get back to that national championship glory of Pete Carroll years and win instantly. Like, no, it is a big, big rebuild at USC that's going to take 3 or 4 years. Kalani would be a great fit at USC, but I think he's a better fit at BYU.
Yeah.
And I still think there's – Kalani is the perfect fit for BYU. We were talking in the break with Bordop Frank. And, you know, it'd be great if he could be the next Lavelle.
Yep.
Kalani has said that. He wants to be the Polynesian Lavelle Edwards. BYU is actually a place that will give him that chance, because I don't think there's any interest from BYU to make any sort of coaching change as they transition to the Big 12 Conference. They want that stability, and Kalani Sitake is the perfect leader for BYU.
Let's keep talking about BYU to USC, get into the nitty-gritty with a segment we call Three and Out.
Three and Out. A quick hit look at BYU's next opponent on the gridiron. It's Three and Out on Cougar Sports Saturday.
Yeah, we do this on game days where we want to get into the weeds a little bit here. We give you players to watch for each team. We give you some interesting stats that may help determine the winner of the game. And then we finish things up with a bold prediction. And, yeah, we do it every week. So let's get going, Mitch.
First down.
A key stat to watch here on first down, and my stat, Matt, I'll start things off, 19. BYU is 19th nationally in total offense, 456.4 yards per game. Had you told people coming into this year, after losing Zach Wilson, after losing Brady Christensen, after losing all the talent they lost from last year's team, they said, you know, you're going to go into the final week of the regular season with the 19th best offense in the country. I think every Cougar fan would have taken that, and I think that's a testament to Jaren Hall, Tyler Allgeier, how good he has been. This BYU offense is explosive, and I'm getting to the point, Matt, where I feel like if BYU gets the ball, they're going to score. And it was that same feeling I had at midway point of last season. I'm getting to that point with this group. They are an explosive unit, and I'm excited to see what they do tonight against USC.
I really like that. And along those lines, my stat is 103. That represents the ranking of USC's defense on third down. They have a hard time getting off the field on third down, and I think with Jaren Hall, his dual threat ability, with Tyler Allgeier being able to run the football, you have so many pass catchers. I think BYU is going to have several sustained drives that result in touchdowns. This is going to be an offensive clinic for a BYU football team.
Second down.
All right, a player to watch in this game. Go ahead, Matt. Let's start with you. Who do you have as the player to watch for BYU?
For me, it's wide receiver Gunnar Romney. Neil Pau is not going to be able to go again. He's the team's leading receiver in terms of total receptions. And last week, Gunnar Romney had a really nice performance against Georgia Southern. 5 receptions, 87 yards, had a long catch of 47. I think sometimes we forget about him because Neil was like the possession guy, and then Puka Nacua has really come along as that big threat, deep, deep downfield pass catcher. And we can't sleep on Gunnar Romney, who I think can just do everything really well. And his ability to come back from both of those injuries is ridiculous. Like, I know at the start of the season, we were talking about him recently married, his wife a yoga instructor. I think I got to get onto yoga more frequently because his ability to bounce back from those knee injuries was really impressive. So I think Gunnar Romney could have a big game against USC.
Yeah, I like that take a lot. And he's someone that said earlier this week that even though he's not a California guy, I think a lot of kids out west grow up of dreaming to play for USC. So there's some extra motivation even for a guy like Gunner who grew up in Arizona. For me, it's going to be Ben Bywater, one of the leading tacklers for this BYU team, a guy that's been a rising star on the defensive side. He's been thrusted into opportunities with so many injuries to that linebacker room. And I zero in on Bywater because I feel like the drop eight defense that I know is a mixed bag of takes from Cougar fans, it's the perfect fit against an air raid offense in USC. Force the Trojans to run the football. It's crazy to say that, too, because when I think USC, I think of great running backs. And to think that USC has not had a headliner at running back in so many years, it blows me away. It's just unusual to think USC is running an air raid, one, and two, to not have a featured back. It's bizarre. But still, I think Ben Bywater, he's going to be a guy that's going to have a drop back in eight. He's going to get one of those Peyton Wilgar type of interceptions that we've grown accustomed to over the past few years. I think Bywater's going to have a big day today on the Coliseum field.
Third down.
All right, a bold prediction today for this game, and I'll start this one off. I'm going to say, staying in tune with the turnover narrative, I'm going to say BYU's defense forces five takeaways. I think that USC, one of the reasons why they're a 4-6 team, despite all of their talent, according to the star ratings, is that they make a lot of mistakes, and they have penalties, and they cough up the football. I think BYU will capitalize on USC's mistakes. And you heard it earlier today, there was no urgency from USC in practice this week. So that lack of urgency, I think, carries over onto the field of play. BYU, I think, is going to be motivated. And that defense, I'm going to say five takeaways for BYU's defense. What's your bold prediction?
My bold prediction is that Jaren Hall is going to have three touchdown passes of at least 25 yards or longer. I don't respect this back half of the USC defense at all. And you know that Aaron Roderick and this offensive staff, they like to be explosive. They like to take – I mean, how many deep shots did they take against Georgia Southern? Like 12? I mean, it was like every drive they were just, hey, throw it as far as you can. Like, let's go after these guys. And I love that mentality from Aaron Roderick and Jaren Hall, and I think it's going to be the same today. I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for BYU to convert deep, and then if a guy can break a tackle, then boom, a quick score. So Jaren Hall – I think he's going to throw a lot of passes. He's going to throw for a lot of yards, and I think he's going to have a lot of touchdown passes over 25 yards.
There's three and out for BYU and USC. One quick bonus question, Matt. Ooh. What's more likely, BYU wins by four touchdowns or Claudius Stocky's the head coach at USC next year?
BYU wins by four touchdowns. I do think it's interesting. It's just when you look at the way that they have – treated's the wrong word, but you look at the way things have gone for the last couple coaches. You fire Lane Kiffin on the tarmac. Clay Helton gets canned a couple games into the season. It's just, I don't feel like there's great leadership right now at USC. Yeah. And there is at BYU. Tom Holmo and President Worthland and even some of the associate ADs, Chad Lewis, Liz Darger. Like, there isn't a phenomenal leadership at BYU. You want to give that up for garbage leadership at USC, where expectations aren't in reality, in terms of they haven't rebuilt the program ever. They've tried to do quick fixes and it hasn't worked. I'd be shocked if he's interested. And to be honest, and this is no shot on Kalani Sitake, because you heard Ryan Abraham talk about this, I don't know if USC wants a guy that's going to do things the right way. I think they want a home run guy that can sell tickets, like a Urban Meyer. He's not going to do it, but like Urban Meyer, Bob's just one of these legacy names. I just don't know if USC, and it speaks to the program itself, that they don't want to get, they don't want to go hire a guy who could actually get the job done. They want a big name who could do what Pete Carroll did. And I'd be shocked if he took the job. I don't think it's a great fit.
Yeah, I would be shocked if USC offered him the job. I think that what hurts Kalani is that he doesn't have national championship pedigree. Yep. In his coaching tenure, whereas Dave Aranda does at LSU, Luke Fickell does at Ohio State. He's doing it at Cincinnati. They're in the playoff right now as a group of five team, and they're on to the Big 12 Kalani misses that component. Like, he's good at Utah. He was good at Oregon State. Well, okay. I mean, they were kind of bad. Oregon State's a bad program for the most part during the last few years. But at BYU, he's a phenomenal fit. But it's not a national championship background. It's more of a projection base. And Kalani, the thing that is the big selling point, I think, for Kalani in the coaching carousel is that he has evolved to where he adapts with the NIL era. He's gotten better where he maintains personnel. Guys don't want to leave and go into the portal. Like, BYU has maintained all three of their quarterbacks. Only one of them's playing, and they've still maintained all three. I think that's a testament to the type of atmosphere, that family culture that Kalani's instilled. And guys are making money, and he's taking care of his players. That is a big selling point, I think, for administrators that like Kalani, and he does it the right way, and he has no controversy around him. So I think that helps his cause. But, yeah, BYU is the perfect fit for him. He could be the head coach of the Cougars for the next 15 years, and no one's going to bat an eye. No other place can offer that in college football to the Kalani Sitake.
Yep. There's just not a job available right now where you look at it and say, that place has it buttoned up, the administration is great, and the previous coach had been there a long time and left because he retired or went to the NFL. Like, there's just all the jobs that are open to me, LSU, USC, Florida, Virginia Tech, like, they're not great jobs because the expectations are too high, and it's just not realistic what they're going to do year over year. So who knows, though? I mean, maybe USC backs up $150 million. I don't know. Like,
we're going to finally get some answers, though, I think starting tomorrow, because once these regular seasons end for so many teams, I think then the coaching carousel starts to churn starting tomorrow, and hopefully we start to see more news start to come out, and we'll obviously have you all covered with the coaching carousel on kslsports.com. But, yeah, I think BYU is the right fit for Kalani. Washington, to me, is a job that I don't think should even be a threat. BYU is a better job.
Yep.
BYU in the Big 12 Conference is a better job than the Washington Huskies. I mean, I respect the history of Washington, but going forward, that's what it's all about. BYU is the better job in the Big 12 Conference.
Let's take one more break here in a Cougar Sports Saturday on the other side. We'll get you some score predictions for BYU and USC, and we'll kind of wrap up the day that's going to be in BYU sports, because it's a huge day, and it's got off to a great start with women's basketball upsetting West Virginia in the St. Pete Showdown. So we'll do that next here. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
On KSL News Radio.
What a day in college football, Mitch. Auburn just scored. They're up on Alabama in the second quarter. Michigan upset Ohio State. A critical game for BYU's New Year's Six chances. Michigan State and Penn State at 17-14 late in the second quarter. Penn State knocking at the door of maybe taking the lead there in the red zone. You need Michigan State to fall behind them. You need Oklahoma State to win later today. And that would definitely increase your chances of getting an at-large bid. So keeping their eyes on that one. But this Auburn-Alabama game, look, BYU is not going to jump Alabama, regardless of what happens. But to have Alabama bumped from the playoff, that would be fun, wouldn't it? Increase Cincinnati's chances of remaining in the top four.
How fun would it be, Matt, if we're knocking on the doorstep of a Georgia, Michigan, Cincinnati, and Oklahoma State playoff?
Oh, give it to me. That'd be phenomenal. That'd
yes,
so
give
good.
Me some new teams. Some new teams, yes, finally. That's all we want.
You're going to hate when I say this, but I would still root for Georgia in that scenario, because how Stetson Bennett, that guy is the quarterback of the number one Georgia Bulldog. I'm rooting for that. As a little guy, look, you're over 6 feet, so this doesn't ever cross your mind, but to see a sub-6-foot quarterback leading the number one Bulldogs, I love that. So yeah. I think I'm still rooting for Georgia. Those four teams would be the best. So good.
Yeah, it would just be fun to see college football actually have a little bit different flavor, because
yes.
It seems like every year it's been Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma every single year, and to have four completely new teams and a group of five team, that should make for a fun final stretch. And I know today is going to be a final regular season game for BYU, which should be a good one. BYU and USC, any final score predictions you want to share today with the Cougars and the Trojans, Matt?
I thought about putting down a 50-piece in honor of Giannis's viral video after the fight. Not 49, not 51, 50-piece. But then I remembered Kalani doesn't like to get style points, so I had to I had to bring it down a hair. So I'm going to go BYU 45, USC 31, and I wish that gap would be bigger. I just don't think BYU is just going to go hog wild on USC. So there you go, 14-point win.
And then you can ask Kalani in the post game. Kalani, did you have any interest in running up or putting up an extra touchdown to get some style points? No, I'm just worried about this game and our team and getting better. And Kalani stays the course.
We were snacking on some of those burritos getting thrown at us late in the game. That's
how great was that, by the way? Hearing about the burritos, I was like, man, I didn't. The Southern hospitality down in Statesboro, Georgia. I don't expect to see burritos flying at the Coliseum because, well, it's not going to be BYU sideline because, yeah, they're not going to show up. It's going to be BYU fans at the Coliseum. I'm expecting a sea of royal blue. I'm going to say BYU wins this one 42-24. I think the Cougars get it done. I think that, excuse me, I said that wrong. 42-31. I think USC is going to score some points. It's going to be a double-digit victory for BYU, but not the blowout that maybe you'd like to see. I think you want to see 14, 21, something like that. But I'm going to say an 11-point win. BYU closes out the regular season with 10 wins.
We got 30 seconds left, so quick here, Mitch. Does BYU go sweep today? Do they win everything?
Yes, they're going to win against Utah, and they're going to win women's soccer as well.
I like that, against South Carolina. That would put them in the Final Four, so that would be awesome. If women's soccer, who they brought back a lot of players, dang good. I'd love to see them in the Final Four. So follow Mitch_Harper, KSL Sports for all your BYU coverage today. Bye, Amonte Matt. Thanks to our producer, Dallin Graff, our board op, Frank. Mitch, have a great time at the Coliseum. Great show today, and we'll see you next week. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
We love
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.